This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Mark Haney. People Working Cooperatively is entering its 40th year of serving Greater Cincinnati, Northern Kentucky, and Southeast Indiana. The nonprofit organization provides critical home repairs, weatherization, modification, and maintenance services to help elderly, disabled, and low-income residents stay safely in their homes. Joining us to discuss its history and services are People Working Cooperatively President and CEO Jock Pitts and Project Manager Sarah Bourgeois. And Sarah and Jock, thank you so much for joining us this afternoon.
We're delighted to be here.
Jock, 40 years. That's hard to believe. You've been there for a good part of that, though, haven't you?
Well, yeah, actually, I've been there for 28 of those 40 years. So wow. I've seen a lot over the years.
How many people has People Working Cooperatively helped since it started back in 1975?
You know, we're not absolutely certain of the number of people. We have done over close to 300,000 repair services.
That many?
Yeah, over, you know, it's multiple counties. We serve now 23 counties in the tri-state.
Well, give me some examples. When you talk about repair services, what kinds of services are you talking about?
Well, we're actually a very unique organization, Mark. There's no other PWC in the country. So that's good and it's bad. You know, it's good because we're providing a very needed service. It's bad because people don't always know exactly what we do. So if you have an emergency related service, an emergency repair, if you're a low income person that owns their home, we can provide that kind of fix for you. No heat, no water. These are level one things that would cause you to have to be forced out of your home. No plumbing. We can make that emergency intervention, kind of help you get back on your feet. But we can do a lot of other things as well. When we try to get in the home, we do what we call the whole house strategy. We're not anxious to spend all the money, you know, that could be spent on a home. We're anxious to do the critical things to allow people to be safe. So in addition to those emergency repairs, we may do some energy conservation work for you. And we may do some things that modifications to help elderly or disabled people stay safely in their homes. It could be a ramp, could be a bathroom, maybe just a grab bar would be what you'd need. But it's the combination of those things that allows people to stay safely in their homes.
So the only organization of this type in the country, how did it get its start, Jock? What prompted someone to do this in the first place?
That's a great question. Actually, the start was an employment training organization 40 years ago. They were trying to teach people repair skills. And they quickly found that there are other people that are doing employment training. But the construction-related skills that they were performing for people were essential. And so the organization shifted focus these 40 years ago and ever since then has been targeting on that construction. We're a construction company, Mark. That's what we do. If you had the elevator speeches, we're a 501c3 nonprofit construction company, one of the biggest in Cincinnati. We have 125 full-time, all-the-time employees.
What was PWC like back in 1970? It actually was in Covington at the time, wasn't it?
We started in Covington. There was just a couple of guys and learning how to do some repairs. And we made just, you know, a handful of repairs that very first year. But it set something in motion that continues today where we do over 10,000 repairs now.
Snowball effect.
It has grown.
Getting bigger and bigger and bigger. Sarah, do you have any idea how many calls for assistance come into PWC on an annual basis?
We have a staff of 6 or 7 people that are just dedicated to answering calls. So I can't tell you the number of calls that come in every day.
Tens of thousands? Not daily, but maybe on a yearly basis? Is it tens of thousands?
Absolutely. It's a lot.
Yeah, I actually do know that. We got 65,000 calls to
65,000
last year.
And the variety of requests is remarkable, from the roof all the way to the basement. So it's hard to keep up with sometimes.
I bet it is. So how big did you say the staff is nowadays, John?
There's about 125
people.
Full-time, but augmented, Mark, very importantly, by about 6,000 volunteers. And they're critical to helping us as well. Because, you know, not everything we do is an emergency. An elderly person that has a leaking commode, it may not merit, you know, it doesn't keep her in, force her out of her home. But it's such a worry to her. It's such a concern. If we can send a volunteer out there to fix that, they can sit down and have a cup of coffee with her as well, because that's on their, you know, on their part of their duty and what they want to give back to the community. PWC plumber, they've got another 3 homes to get to that day, so they don't have that luxury. So we can maximize the use of volunteers and professionals.
Yeah, it was 1982 that you established a formal volunteer program?
Yes.
For PwC. Was that a huge boost for the organization when you did that?
Well, it certainly grew our capacity to help people. And that's why we exist. We want to help as many people as possible. So we help, thousands of people with our volunteer program every year. And it also engages the community. It's hard to know exactly what we're doing and who it's helping. But if you volunteer for PwC, you see it firsthand. If you're out there and you see the people that are in need, then pretty soon you go back and you tell your family and you tell your neighbors and it grows. And then they want to support us in other ways. And that's why we have 6,000 volunteers every year. And we could grow that number if we wanted to. It's just hard to manage more than that.
And I was going to ask Sarah, how much of a need is there for more volunteers?
There's always a need for more volunteers, especially if they're a little bit handy. Mm-hmm. You don't have to be a professional plumber to take the guts out of a toilet and replace them. So we have a core group of field service volunteers, and those are mostly retired folks that were doctors, lawyers, bankers, and they know how to fix stuff. So they come in one or two days a week, and we have a whole wish list of repairs that we work off of. And that's what they enjoy doing.
Yeah. So plumbing is one of the skill sets you look for. What are some of the other skills that you look for in a volunteer?
Handyman type services. We fix a lot of storm doors, doorknobs, broken windows, and then some other bigger repairs, concrete steps that are crumbling. Maybe we can't tear them out and re-pour a whole new set of steps, but we can patch the bad spots. So, and that takes a little finesse. So we do need some skills to do that stuff.
It's not easy. I've tried that myself. It's not an easy thing to do. One of the events that people working cooperatively is known for is the Repair Affair. So how did that program come to be?
Repair Affair is always the second Saturday in May. Mm-hmm. And we try to take skilled folks or somewhat skilled groups of people and
semi-skilled like me, maybe.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So we'll put a team together and tackle a laundry list of repairs at one home. So maybe they had a leaking toilet, but they also had drywall. They also had a yard work to do. And normally we can dispatch someone and fix one, maybe two things. But on that day, we can really get a whole list of repairs done for one home and just make that person feel a lot better about their house. And there's also things for not so skilled people to do. There's always yard work, yard cleanup, just to make the house a little bit more presentable on the outside. So I think we started that because there was a need for those kinds of repairs. And we realized that having a volunteer program could address those needs.
What kind of impact has Repair Affair had, Jock?
Well, we do about 60 specific jobs on every Repair Affair. And those are, as Sarah said, they're large, multiple system repairs. And so we have events during the year as well. We'd call them Second Chance Saturdays, where we engage people throughout the year on that kind of work. But the impact is greater again than just the repairs. It is the involvement of everyone, towards a common mission. And as I said before, this isn't, just something that would be nice to do. Where are people going to go if they're forced out of their home, Mark? They go to fully subsidized living someplace because they all earn about $13,000 a year. There's no place for them with that kind of income. They're very happy and safe in their home if they can stay there, and we can help them make that bridge that gap if there's something wrong. They're delighted, and it saves everyone an enormous amount of money. So it's just frugal and prudent to engage in this.
And so the typical client is somebody who earns $13,000 or less a year?
A single person. It's a sliding scale, but that's about where our typical single person is, and it jumps up from there. But yeah, we serve the very low income. These are folks that are on Social Security. So it's either the elderly, or it's some an accident or illness has taken somebody out of the workforce. But almost all of our customers, they own their own home. It's something has changed in their life. At one point in time, they were doing just fine, thank you. But maybe it's an accident, or maybe it's just old age that's caused their income to change, and now they're just hanging on.
So how much has the need grown over the years, Jock?
Well, it's tremendous. With the changes in the economy and our aging population, Mark, that's a big factor. As the baby boomers, get older, and that now there's just more and more people in a place with very few resources, looking to just hang on to what they have. And I get asked this all the time, but there's an ever, increasing need to expand our services beyond just the territory we're in now. We just moved into the greater Dayton area at their request because they have a need. And they have an aging, low-income population that where are they going to go? And so with healthcare being such a big issue in our country and housing being such an issue, we can do things to keep people healthier and safer in their homes with not very much money. Our average cost of a service is about $1,200. We get a lot done with very little.
And speaking of expansion, you just recently expanded into Southeast Indiana, correct?
Yes, we did.
In the past few years, 3 years or so?
5 years ago. We've always been in Kentucky, but we did expand into Southeastern Indiana. And the question gets asked of me, hey, when can you go statewide? And it's not that we wouldn't want to, but those are big leaps. And we aim to do our very best work wherever we are, and it's not something we're not looking to expand for PwC's sake. We're looking to grow because of it, if it's a valuable service helping more people, then we consider it.
Sarah, we were talking about Repair Affair, and then there's Prepare Affair. Is that is that right? What's that about?
Prepare Affair is in November.
Okay.
Again, the second Saturday, and that event was created because we had a lot of volunteers that wanted help that maybe didn't know how to patch concrete steps. So what can everybody do in the fall? Rake leaves. So we bring almost 3,000 volunteers together on that one day to rake 1,000 homes, rake leaves for 1,000 people. And church groups, school groups, company groups, it's a good excuse to get your friends together and go out and rake leaves. And we fill tons of leaf bags that day. And it's just really cool to see the different varieties of groups all over the tri-state area.
And Jack, PwC started doing weatherization in, I think it was 86. How effective has that been?
Well, it's tremendous. You know, I would say it works because of the repair program. The repairs are the essential foundational piece of what we do. If you make a solid repair in a home, it didn't have plumbing, it doesn't have, you know, heat, it doesn't have water, well, you can't live there. So we make that kind of essential repair, but then the weatherization related pieces that makes things safer and more comfortable for everyone, bringing down the fuel bill so that the homeowner can take responsibility for that. Sometimes some of these folks live and they're subsidized by different programs and so forth. They don't like that. We don't like that. So if we can, you know, make these weatherization, you know, improvements to the home, they pay more of their bill or all of their bill and they take responsibility again for their life. It's a good thing. That's what they want. So it augments what we do. And, it's not none of these things are really standalone. They don't make as much sense that way. That's what kind of the really neat thing about PwC. It's the combined services that make the powerful impact.
What kind of effect has PwC had on home values?
Oh, that's a great question. We had some independent research done by a group called the Cadmus Group, and they came in and they studied PwC's, the homes we've served, over a 10-year period in Hamilton County, and they compared sales of the homes we served against those that were eligible. This is kind of a detailed answer, but those that were eligible for our services, but we didn't serve them. And the homes that PwC served were 10% more valuable than those we didn't serve. So it's kind of like that.
Wow.
You know, you see the home that melts down in a neighborhood and all the housing values come down to. Well, PwC provides the opposite effect. We build that house up, not with a tremendous amount of money, but we take care of that critical systems, keeping them there. And all the housing values rise with that. Even homes that are not, that we didn't even touch, but they're immediately surrounding the homes that we worked on, they rise in value a little bit too, 1.5 to 2%. It's just a good use of money.
Yeah, there's an interesting term, and I think PwC actually coined this, invisible poor. Mm-hmm. I think that goes back to the early 90s, if I remember right. How did that all come about, Jock? That's really, just those words alone are eye-openers to me.
Well, you know, some of the folks we serve could be the listener's neighbors. You know, you don't know when someone doesn't have any income. You know, they've been there at home for a long time. Maybe things were okay, but we heard of homes in many, many neighborhoods around the area. There aren't, you know, there's a few that we don't touch almost every neighborhood has a person that we help. And so again, your home, is what it is, but if you have no income to maintain it or to buy food or groceries or medicine, the home gets the last attention. And so we make that, you know, small things that can allow someone to stay there. And so that person is virtually invisible. And that's the point. They're the invisible poor. We're not trying to bring attention to the fact that they're poor. We're just trying to keep them safe in their home.
Are they often people who are reluctant to ask for help?
Very much so. That's something that we've seen a lot. These are folks that, again, they've done it on their own. They've bought their house again. Things were going really well, but something's changed. And PwC over the years has learned, I think, earned the trust of a lot of people. So on an annual basis, we're in helping 15,000-16,000 people, maybe 7,000-8,000 households every year. Interestingly, Mark, a lot of the people we help are also their children. So you'd think, well, wait, I think you said elderly and disabled, Jock.
Yeah,
and
children.
Where'd the children come from? Grandma and grandpa are often the place that's the stable home environment for many children. A third of all the people that PwC serves are children. They're living in a situation where they're dependent on that senior for a stable home environment. If they don't have that stable home environment, there's kind of a cascading effect. If they're forced to move and their grades in school go down, sometimes they get in trouble with the law. A lot of cascading problems. If we can give them a stable home environment, that's a great start for their future.
Sarah, can you tell us about the social enterprise that was launched back in 2012, Whole Home Modifications?
Whole Home was started because we recognized that there was a need, not just among low-income people, but everybody.
Okay.
A lot of people are getting older and are starting to think about, what are my options? Do I want to stay at my house or do I want to move to a facility? Nobody wants to hear the word facility or nursing home. And we would get some phone calls and, well, sorry, we can't help you. We don't have funds for that. Well, now we can help you. A social enterprise is just, in our case, it's an extension of our mission. So we can do the modification services for paying customers. And then any profits that we earn, we put right back to the low-income side of things. We are focusing on modifications, so ramps, take the bathtub out, put a step-in shower in, or sometimes it's just a few grab bars that allows people to step into the tub safely. So we're always looking at fall prevention measures, and I think we're also looking to expand those services. So it might not just be modifications. It might be a maintenance service for an older person, just doing the things that we do every day for an expanded client base or customer base.
Now, what is the future for PwC, Jock? I mean, how is it growing and changing to meet the needs of the community?
Well, there's the need is so tremendous out there. I guess the future, in some measure could look big because of all the need. We're not looking to try to do as many jobs every year. We'd love to have everybody not need our services, but that's just not the case, unfortunately. So we're moving into this area of whole home, which is, what Sarah talked about, expanding to help people that can afford to pay for the services. That's a market that it's just not out there right now. It hasn't developed. If you needed some services to keep someone safely in their home, you can find a carpenter, you can find a plumber, you can find an HVAC tech, but there isn't that skill set right there readily available to do the modification work and have that knowledge base that PwC has earned over 30 years of work. So we've opened that up to people, and that is a really big plus because we're helping a whole new group of people, but then it's kind of like Tom's shoes. You buy a pair of shoes, you give a pair of shoes. Well, somebody buys a service from us and it allows us to provide another service for somebody that can't afford to pay for it. It's a really cool concept and I think it's going to grow.
So tell us about the celebration that you have coming up next month.
Well, on September 11th in DeVue Park, from 5 p.m. to 10 p.m., we're going to have celebrate our 40th anniversary. We're going to invite everybody that's been part of this organization for 40 years. So it's going to be big. It's going to be a lot of fun. You know, that the community supported us. We have board members that go way back when, you talk about employees from the very beginning and volunteers. Stakeholders, if you will, people that have invested in what we've done, and we want to celebrate with them. So we're gonna do that. We're so busy working that we don't often take time to stop and go, you know what? Some really nice things have happened over this 40 years. Let's just be grateful for what we've been able to do, and then we'll start tomorrow with doing it again.
I've heard there's going to be dancing. I'm looking forward to seeing that.
I'll watch you, Sarah, do that.
Well, Jock and Sarah, thank you so much for joining us this afternoon. People Working Cooperative President and CEO Jock Pitts, and Project Manager Sarah Bourgeois. Thanks for listening to Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. Today's show was produced by Pete Reitmeier with help from Kevin Reynolds. The technical director was Rick Andres. I'm Mark Haney. Stay tuned for Here and Now, coming up next on 91.7 WVXU.